I did 411 when I need her to meet me down the street so I can start putting clothes and put money in her hand. So when I do escape, wow, I need to go.
Behind every smile is a story of pain, strength, and resilience. The Blueprint Podcast is where those stories are told, where we heal, evolve, and reclaim what's ours. And whether you're a woman finding her voice or a man ready to listen and grow, this space is for you. Together, we rise back into her. Before we begin, please note that today's conversation may include topics that could be sensitive or triggering. Listener's discretion is advised.
Hello, y'all. Welcome back to The Blueprint. Thank you so much for tuning in. Your support means a lot to me. Every week, I decide who I want to speak to get tips for you to become a better version of yourself. And tonight's speaker, she's going to bring it. But before I get into that, I want to ensure that you are liking this video, subscribing, and also just sharing. It may not be for you, but it may be for someone else. So if you know someone that's struggling that this can possibly help, please share it. Let's get into who tonight's guest is. Devon Kroom. She's an author, a minister, a speaker, a leadership coach, and founder of Women Warriors Group. She has spent over 20 years in corporate leadership, yet her passion is rooted in helping women overcome adversity, step into their authenticity, and build legacy. She's the author of Abuse But Not Broken, and I cannot wait to have this conversation. So let's bring her in. Welcome, Devon.
Thank you, Renee.
Yay. How are you feeling?
Amazing.
Amazing. Yes, yes. We're going to get into some real talk tonight. I know you have had so many experiences and so many lessons. And so we want to share this with our ladies and hope that they will become a better version of themselves. We're working on finding her, the healed, empowered, and resilient version of her. Okay, so tonight we're going to just have this conversation and see you as a coach, you as an author, you as a leadership mentor, all of these things. Let's see what we can get, okay?
Right, let's do it.
All right, awesome. So we're going to start out with you telling us who you are right now. Who is Devon in this current season of her life?
Yeah. I am truly a woman who is embraced with gratitude. I am a woman who is healed, right? No longer living off of survivor mode.
Yes.
And I'm so in love with who I am and know that I'm enough and I'm still becoming. But yes, in any space that I walk into, I am influence. I am impact. I am purpose. So when you see that. Me, you may see a healed version. You may see a work in progress, but I'm still evolving each and every day. But
yes,
when you see me, I'm truly walking in my purpose.
I love that. Yeah, they say that we're never truly healed, but we're always on that journey of healing. So that's amazing. As we speak about journey, your journey includes leadership, ministry, coaching, but also deep personal healing. What led you to write Abuse Not Broken?
Yeah. Abuse But Not Broken was a journal for me as a young mom. And early in my years, getting counseling or going to a therapist was taboo. So my way of talking out, my way of escaping the pain that I was going through, but in a journal. So it was a chronological order of some of the pain, some of the trials and tribulations and trauma that I've witnessed.
Yeah.
Experience as a young lady, a young mom in adulthood. And it's a chronological order of that. And it's an inspiration to help any woman or any individual that face the same exact challenges. It's just a friendly reminder.
Mm-hmm.
What you started with doesn't mean that you're going to end that way.
And I totally agree with that. I always tell people it's not where you've been, what you've encountered, what you face. It's who you are aiming to become. So that doesn't define who you are. But if you are open to sharing, what were some of the most difficult bruises you had to overcome personally or professionally? And did you break or how did you manage?
Yeah. So when it comes to a personal perspective, one of the many challenges that I faced was being validated at a very young age. So if you think about that inward trauma that I had faced, looking at men differently, looking at the person that validated me, thinking that person represent all men. And this was the one that was a caretaker, someone that was authority, right? So I looked at, there was a phase in my survivor mode. Anyone that reminded me of him, my guard up. And when you don't heal from some of that trauma, it follows you in your adulthood. It impacts how you interact with people in your relationships. So I had to do the work. And that consisted of therapy. That consisted of a trusting circle. That consisted of sisterhood. That consisted of me surrounding myself with people that wanted to see me grow. They wanted to see my future bright. Not people that's going to tear me down. And you know how some people trauma bond? That's a healthy way to build. So that was one of the challenging ones that actually followed me into my adulthood and heal from it by getting therapy and leveraging the resources that God put in my life.
Wow. Yes. Traumas can be so hard to spot sometimes because you may experience something and you don't even know that it's following you. So it's great that you were able to recognize it and seek the necessary therapy. What would you say to someone who say, therapy, that ain't for me. Like, I ain't doing no therapy. I ain't going to talk to nobody and tell nobody my business. What do you say to those people?
The very thing that you're holding on to is the very thing you need to release to heal. And you've done all that you can to get you to the point that you are in life. Why not leverage someone that is skilled?
Yes.
Who cannot give you any type of, they don't know you or your family, right? But someone that would be able to help you identify some blind spots.
Yes.
And help you become a better you. So if you're ready for change and you're ready to do the hard work, I encourage one to really be kind to themselves, get the necessary healing for them to evolve and be a better version.
Yeah, I've heard it time and time again. I ain't going no therapy. So it's sometimes hard to convince people, especially in the Caribbean culture. They don't believe in no therapy. So,
well, the other thing too, we have to be more open.
Yes.
And be more courageous to share our story. And if we can celebrate how therapists and therapy has healed us, it may open up the appetite for someone to even consider. Because back then, when I was growing up, no one talked about it. Correct. You know, now I thrive in that conversation. It's not anything foreign for me and my girlfriends to say, all right, we're going to our therapy session. See y'all later. You know, that is like part of your self-care. That's part of you having a good time. Let me get my therapy session in. Yes, my body massage and my nails, but don't forget, you know, the neck up.
Yep. And we don't sound crazy no more saying that we're going to therapy. It becomes something that is self-care. And people, when you say it, you actually get props for saying that you're going to therapy these days. So that's good. You work with women in ministry and also in corporate. What are some of the mindset shifts they need to make in order to start reclaiming their power?
Don't compare yourself to others. Know that the provision that God has made for you
is
for you.
Yes.
So what I can tolerate, you may not be able to tolerate. And where you're gifted at, I'm not gifted. So don't compare yourself to anyone else. The other thing is I would remind women that's in ministry or in a corporate space, be okay with just loving who you are.
Yes.
All in all, you still enough, right?
Yep.
The other thing I would say from a woman perspective to realize that we have this thing called imposter syndrome.
Oh, yeah. I was getting to that. We can tackle it now.
I'm not enough I could have done better. You need that sisterhood. You need the I would say truth tellers.
Yeah.
You know, that sister that you can go to say, hey, I'm having a moment.
Yes.
I don't feel like I'm enough. And that girl can just encourage you. I don't know if you saw on the Instagram where they said, I'm not the one, but I'm not the two, I'm not the one. You know, that
like before,
it just reminds you, you are the one.
You are the one.
You are the one.
Yes.
And the last thing I would say for women in the corporate space or in ministry is to be more of your sister to those that look different than you.
Yes.
And continue to be your sister keeper. What do I mean? When you're the only female in a space, or you're the only one who looks like you, or when your EQ senses like, oh, this sister doesn't feel, you can look at her and say, oh, she feels like she's out of place. Be the one to start the conversation first.
Yes.
Extend the olive branch. Be the example that you want to see.
I love that. I love that. Be the example that you want to see. And show up authentically as well. And don't compare yourself, okay? Those are all very important tips that we need to shift our mindset. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah.
Let's shift gear and speak about confidence. What does that mean to you?
Confidence is knowing you can do it.
Yes.
Despite of it all, or you may not have everything, but you are courageous to step in.
Yes.
And if you fall, it's still going to be a moment for you to win, to learn. So either way, you're going to push through with courageousness.
Yes.
And boldness. Be okay with failure, because failure is part of success. That's what comes to my mind when I think of confidence.
I love that. Have you ever lose your confidence? And if so, how did you build it back?
When I start comparing myself and I allow myself to sit in my head.
Yes.
And not leveraging coping skills that I've learned through therapy to get me back centered.
Yes.
Sometimes that's affirmation that, Devin, you are enough.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that is me reading a scripture before I go out and do a public speaking. Or to look at success that has happened in the past to remind me of who I am.
Yes.
When I have lost confidence, I sat in a space in my head and, you know, that whole imposter syndrome. But to get out of it, I put those coping skills into practice.
Yes.
You know, some people, I don't know if you ever heard some people tap, you know, they tap their hand, or you see them put their fingers, tap their thumbs, rub their arms, something to bring them present.
Yes.
That's how I gain my confidence. And here's the other thing. Don't take yourself too serious. If you mess up, laugh it off and be like, okay, I know what to do this time. I got more experience. This time I know how to prepare.
Yeah.
You know, if you happen to lose your confidence.
Okay. I love that. And you are also a speaker. So when you have to get up and speak in front of a large audience, do you get nervous? And if so, like during that moment, what do you do to calm yourself?
Just had one this past Sunday. So the answer is yes. You're going to always have those jitters.
Yeah.
And any speaker will tell you that something would never, ever go away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one thing that can help you with resilience that will push you through is your practice.
Yes.
You want to make sure you put more than enough time in preparing for your speech. Because if technologies have a conflict, the lights go out, or a big sound happened, you got to still be able to continue the point, continue to speak.
Yeah.
The other thing is, in preparation, sometimes I record myself before speaking.
Mm, okay.
I do love speaking in a way where I have imperfection. I may stumble on the word, and there are times where I have a issue with my jaw. So sometimes my words don't come out as clear.
Okay.
And then my thoughts would get in my head. I'm like, oh, no one else pronounces it like that. But you know what? Keep it like that. Because that's me, right? So preparation is key before speaking. Yes, you do get the jitters. And how I push through it is I remind myself, I visualize myself already on stage. I visualize myself already accomplishing the speaking. And when I'm in the audience, if it's in person, I find a spot to help me gaze the room. So left, center, right. And I may see one person that I trust.
Yes.
And I glance, and then I keep that rotation. If it's online, such as you and I, it's just a matter of me gazing the room and coming back.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I still get nervous.
Yes.
I still get nervous, but what keeps me going is knowing this is something that you need to get done. And the only reason why you're afraid or you're nervous is because you care.
Yeah.
So that's a great indication that you care about what you're about to do. So,
so true. And yeah. One thing to keep in mind, growth starts outside of your comfort zone.
Exactly.
So if you're pushing yourself and you're like, oh, you got the jitters. That's normal. That means you're moving in the right direction. Keep going. It. Practice makes perfect.
Practice makes perfect. Even if you have to go to the bathroom first.
That part, don't eat or drink a lot before going on stage. Word to the wise.
Yeah. So I know faith clearly plays a big role in your journey.
Absolutely.
So what has God shown you about yourself through the valley you've walked through? Like, you've been through a lot. What have God shown you?
He has shown me that I am the vessel that he's using to speak to women when it comes to resilience and overcoming challenges. So many of us that have gone through some dramatic things early in our years, maybe in a mental institute, maybe deep depression, may feel voiceless or don't have courageous to really speak up. Yeah. I am the example for them. I am their North Star. God has pretty much shared with me that I am a pastor to many women. He speak to me in visions and in dreams.
Yes.
And I knew early on in my years that I would be preaching. I knew that I would be pouring into women. And it's because he allowed me to survive so many. And that's the hint to my book, Abused But Not Broken. I was like, God, why me?
Yeah,
and that was me early in my spiritual walk because I kept saying, why me? And a lot of people kept asking me, going on podcasts and traveling. And I did an anthology with 21 other Black females. And I was part of a book where my sister helped me heal.
Okay.
And so many people kept saying, well, what did you do? So in 2024, I created a journal. And it's called You Got This. And that journal, it talks about, you know, how to start your conversation in prayer. What are you specifically asking God for? Scriptures to reference and the power of sitting still to hear it.
Okay.
So when you ask me and say, what have God taught me? It's a lot he has shared with me.
Yeah.
And resilience is the number one word that comes to mind. But I am the North Star. I am designed as a leader to help other leaders leverage their gifts and elevate it in the rooms that they stand in, whether that is ministry or in a corporate place.
I love that. I love that. And I can say that you have prayed for me. You've sent me scriptures. You've sent me sermons. And you are living within faith. You wake up every day and you remind me what's for you is for you.
Amen.
So anything that didn't happen, do not dwell on it because God already has a plan for you. And he's never going to leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
So I thank you for that. Thank you for always pouring that lesson into me.
Absolutely. Sharpen iron. That's my favorite scripture.
That's our favorite thing to say. Iron sharpen iron. And what's the other one? there are more. Okay. So you work with women. You're very passionate about that. So you're passionate about women finding their voices. And for the woman listening to this, who still feels silenced or small, what would you say to her?
Be kind to yourself.
Hmm.
We all have struggles.
Yeah.
Don't allow social media to fool you.
Yes.
Because they only showing the good side.
Facts.
They don't show the bad times, the valleys, the insecurities, the lack thereof. They don't show you that.
Yes.
Be kind to yourself. The other encouragement I would say is find a sister that you can confide into that will be your bridge builder.
Yes.
Also will be your sounding board. I lead a group of women called Women Warriors. Okay. And in this group, we cry together. We celebrate one another. We pray for one another. But one thing we do at all time is iron sharpens iron. We want to celebrate one another. And we as women, we love our men. We love our children, love our career. But there's something about connecting with a sister.
Yes.
Some women don't have sisters. Some women don't have blood relatives. But anything that you need, when you go to God and say, hey, I am seeking this from you, he always provides. In this sisterhood, it gives us an umbrella of psychological safety.
Yes.
It gives us a space for us to pull on one another, encourage one another, and even through hard times and great times.
Yes.
So I would encourage if anyone is going through, and this, I think it's important that you get out of the four walls, find a sounding board, get the work that's needed for you from a therapy perspective, even if you're starting with a life coach. Start with a life coach, someone that don't know you that can help you with your blind spots. If you can heal mind, body, and soul, anything else is going to line up.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. You mentioned something that I want to go back to. Social media. A lot of people, women especially, are comparing themselves to what they see on social media. The power couple, the perfect bodies, the this, the that. And they don't understand what people are going through behind closed door. Today, a lady came out to say that her boyfriend was abusing her. She showed pictures and all the bruises. But these were two people that were idolized. People were in the comment section saying, I want to be like them. I want to take pictures like this, you know, and you don't know what's going on, only to now find out today that the security at the complex is saying, this is every week that they're at war.
Mm-hmm.
And so for women, and we've seen the Cassie, the P. Diddy and Cassie case, we've seen other cases of abuse. To women who are in those situations, and we on the outside sometimes be like, if you were really being abused and if you really wanted to leave, you would have left. What would you say to the woman enduring these abuse and also to the outsiders who are looking in and judging the situation?
I will answer in two folds. Speaking from a woman who's been abused, who wore long sleeve shirts during the summer months, who was trying to avoid statistics of saying, you know, most couples don't last beyond 5 years.
Wow.
And having the stigma of wanting all my kids to be by the same father, trying not to play into what society says.
Yes.
I sacrificed myself and stayed in a relationship and was abused despite of people were telling me to get out.
Wow.
My depression and the lack of love I had for myself is why I stayed, because I believed his lies that I could not make it without him.
Yeah.
And I believe what he was saying about me, that no one else would want me. So to those ladies that are looking from the outside in, why haven't she left? It's because she don't believe that she can make it without him.
Yeah.
Scared. When a body, your mind goes through trauma, you're going to fight, flight, or freeze. Some people say paralyzed.
Yeah.
And for the most part, we are paralyzed. And here's the thing. When a woman is familiar with abuse, that's all. No, it's scary to step out to do anything different because the comfort zone, at least I'll be able to sleep tonight. He may eat me, as long as I don't talk back, as long as my kids eat, do what he says, I'm fine. And then I can play the status quo. I can put up the facade that we're in a perfect marriage.
Wow.
So the problem is her. So instead of beating her down with words and telling her what she should do, understand where she at, meet her where she's at, and create a space of psychological safety and say, hey, sis, text me. I did. I found a girlfriend of mine's. We got a code system. I did 411 when I need her to meet me down the street so I can start putting clothes and put money in her hand. So when I do escape, I need to go.
Wow.
That I did. 911 means he's been hitting me too long. And I can't take it no more.
My kids
are older. and I don't want them to see it. Can I spend a night at your house?
Wow.
We'll build a system for 911. Text them. Text them.
Wow.
And someone that you can build. So before you judge a sister and tell her she should have left, think about it from her lens. She's too scared to leave because she knows nothing else. Most of the women, they're not working. The men are providing most of the income.
Yeah.
They don't have the education to be on their own. And here's the thing about the enemy. If the enemy can get you in your mind depressed, suppressed, and oppressed, that is the reason why the enemy don't want most of us to understand our gifts and our purpose here. Because if he can keep you suppressed, you will never be able to tap into your full potential. You will always area under submission. And therefore, the enemy keep doing what he wants to do. He's winning because he know you're not activated.
Wow.
But once you activate in your purpose, he knows that you can destroy him. You understand?
Wow.
So
wow.
That's what I would say on behalf of those of the voiceless. Right?
Yeah.
And I think the outside looking in, what you can do, as I mentioned earlier, be your sister keeper.
Yes.
Be that sister that, you know what, if your heart, your mind, something is telling you something is not right, it's not right. So go in and check on that sister. Build a space where you can be that confidence that she can pour into and pray for her.
Yes.
A lot of times, some women would not leave. They just need someone to listen. And they are building that relationship equity to see if you're going to stay long enough.
Yes.
Be able to tolerate what she's going through. Would you be able to, you know, hold on in confidence on everything she's saying, or are you going to repeat it in the streets?
Mm.
So be that gap for that sister to help her get out of that situation.
Wow, that's deep, Devin. I know I grew up hearing if he doesn't beat you, he doesn't love you.
Mm.
It's a form, it's an act of love. Mm. And they sometimes would compare it to your parents spanking you and say, it's the same thing. Your parents do love you, right? So it's very tough to hear that a lot of women are in the situation because they don't have it. Mm. They don't know where to go. And they just feel like they can't make it without them. So how many kids did you have by your abuser?
Three.
Three.
Yeah.
Wow.
Three beautiful kids. I'm an empty nester now. They're all
grown. Yeah, they're all grown.
So yeah.
Wow. Okay. And so with three kids, how did you finally made the decision that enough is enough and I'm going to leave? And when you did leave, because he was the provider, how did you restart your life?
Yeah, that was a night where I leveraged a text of 911. It was late at night when he was sleeping. And I just took at the time I had my third youngest and my older two, they were witnessing what was going on.
Mm.
And I leveraged the system I had in place, got out, called 911 when I had an opportunity and started a process from there and say, hey, I'm done. I'm not taking anymore.
Yeah.
But I had built up a system. When I say system, I talked to my girlfriends. There was only two that I can rely on. Only one that I knew had transportation to pick me up. So yeah, that's how I navigated it. And so I encourage anyone else that could be in that space, create a system or if you see someone who doesn't have it in them to create it, you be the bridge builder for her.
Yeah, I'm sorry you had to go through that. That must have been a tough time. And I'm glad you finally got the courage to leave. Mm-hmm. But you are Devin Kroom now. You are the author, the minister, the speaker. It had to have taken a different mindset, a shift in your overall being in order for you to be to where you are today. How did you finally navigate your life to go back to school to do this? Did you have a good support system or how did you navigate that?
Yeah, so I've always been, from a career perspective, I've always been the one to lead by example. So if I was going back to school to better my skill set and knowledge to share back to my team, that's what I did from a career perspective.
Okay.
when it came to ministry, I had a prophet share with me when I was 18 or 19 and said that I would be a pastor, that I would be an evangelist to women. I ran. I didn't believe her. I was scared. So it got to the point where I could be in the store, grocery shopping, and people come up to me and say, hey, I have a situation I need to share with you. And it got to the point where it was scared, and then it was weird. And then as I grew in my sanctification and my walk and my spiritual walk with Christ and in my journaling, trying to understand why are these people I don't know coming to me, it's because God gifted me with that. So with that being said, I had to make sure I am the healed version. So when I'm ministering to people, I am not projecting, right? I'm sharing my negative woes or unhealed trauma onto someone else. So that's when I had took advantage of the resources of getting therapy. I'm doing the work inside for me and studying. And as I studied the word and get to know more about God, he showed me a lot more about myself. Okay. And the rest is history. So I would say as I grew and got healed, doors start opening up for me.
Yes.
But the caliber of women still come to me. They still come to me, even in ministry, or it doesn't matter, ministry or not, people come to me and I'm like, well, I don't know your name, but I feel led to tell you. I'm like, can you tell me your name? Like, can we introduce one another? But I have accepted it. And if you really ask anyone, you know, how did you know your calling? Or some people ask me, well, Devin, how did you know this was the space for you? Ask your friends. If you don't know what your gifts are, ask your friends. Wow. And because a lot of people knew that I was going to do this before I realized it. And I was a young mom and I had my second child in my early 20s.
Okay.
And people were telling me then, any hard things, challenging things, any conflict resolution, prayers, they always came to me. Why are you guys coming to me? Like, I don't figure out, I need to, but you got to understand that it's not man that set the qualification as far as your gift and your purpose and calling.
Yes.
That's God.
That's God.
He's already made the provision. So I walked into it.
And then you become the magnet. You attract these people that need someone to speak to that they know they can trust. So that's very good. All right. So you mentioned, I'm going to go back to something you said earlier as well. You mentioned journaling, right? And I know you oftentimes speak to your dream journal. And I always wonder, when I'm in the middle of my sleep, how do you get up and write write what you're dreaming about to document it?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the way it works with me, when I'm 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, it was actually 2:35 this morning. I can't go back to sleep. I can't rest. No different than if God, we use the term download, or if he gives me a message or scripture, I will not rest until I write it down or I go and do the action. So I have a study in my master bedroom, and my husband knows if I wake up in the middle of the night, he just knows, he pulls the blanket over his head and I just head and turn the light on and I have a journal by my bed. And it's not so much writing the exact dream. Sometimes that is the case, but it could be a message.
Okay.
Or I may see a picture, a vision of a friend or family member that I need to pray for.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. And you're also big on journaling overall. So you journal things that happen throughout your day. Do you typically journal at night?
Early mornings is the best time for me.
Okay.
Well, if I am in a moment of like on vacation and I'm not doing anything, then I will, if I don't have my journal next to me, I have my notes on my phone and I speak to it and then transfer it.
Okay.
It helps me get my thoughts out. It helped me process. And here's the thing about journaling. It's a tangible item. So when we do go through life, as my daughter would say, life be life in.
Yes.
You have those moments of doubts. You have your written document that you can go back. Oh, on January 15th, I went through the same issue. Here's the scripture I used. This is what I was going through, and this is how I got out of it. And yep. that's the affirmation that I need for me to get back on track.
Yes. And as you know, I have a gratitude journal. Just, I think it was last week or the week before, someone tagged me in a post mm-hmm. that said, it's so amazing going back through my journal and reading some of the things that I was grateful for last year this time.
Yes.
And so it definitely serves its purpose. You just smile when you read certain things that you've actually experienced. But yeah, okay. One of your signature topic is being authentic, mm-hmm. being your authentic self. Mm-hmm. How does someone practically do that when they've been hiding for years?
Being your authentic self, I use the storyline of being the salt and the light to any room you go into. What does that mean? Salt means flavor.
Okay.
Light, you bring light to darkness. So when you walk into a room, be who you are, and you may feel a little different. That's because you bring flavor to that room, right? If you laugh and joke, and that's part of your personality, regardless if you're talking to the CEO or the janitor, continue to be yourself, right? The other thing is, if Unique stands with a certain pose, I shouldn't want to mimic Unique. I should be authentic and be who I am, right?
Yeah.
And do not dim your light. Do not dim your light. There are certain environments, certain rooms that you go in where you can feel that you are welcome and celebrated, and spaces where you're tolerated. Never put yourself in a position where you feel that you have to fit in. Mm-hmm. You are designed to stand out because you're a chosen individual. So be your authentic self. Be who you are. Smell, connect. Be the salt, be the flavor to the rooms that you walk in. That's how you elevate any room that you walk in. Because no one can do you better than you.
No one can do you better than you. So, you ladies, listen. You said salt and
light to the room.
Not salt and pepper. Salt and light. Yes. Be the salt and light. Walk in confidently, knowing who you are and remaining true to yourself no matter who you see. Because remember, one of the first things that Devin said is do not compare yourself. And if you're not comparing yourself, the only other option is to be yourself, because you're no longer looking around at anybody else. You're just showing up as your true self. Mm-hmm. So keep that in the back of your mind, ladies. All right. You also speak, and this is big. I think this is a big one in the workplace, big one in our personal lives, and that's mental health, mm-hmm. right? What have you learned about boundaries mm-hmm. and burnout and emotional regulation as a leader?
Oh, my goodness. Unique, your psychological, mental health, your peace,
yes.
be always prioritized. The work is going to be there when you get back.
Yes.
But at any time that you are toe up from the flow up and you feel like you've been working for 96 hours straight, you are no good to anyone.
Yes.
You're no good to anyone. Mental health, what does that look like? Sometimes you need to sit in a space, 30 minutes, 5 minutes, or even an hour of just silence.
Yeah.
That's important. Getting outside, getting away, because we're in this hybrid world. RTO is coming in place, return to work in the office. Some people, companies are expecting everyone to be in the office a lot more.
Yeah.
Getting time to be still and unplugging is powerful. Get outside and listen to the birds chirp and sing to you. You know, get outside and get some fresh vitamin D from the sun, and enjoy quiet times and hear from what God is telling you. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you're not doing everything for yourself, because your life is not your own. Your gift is for others. So make sure that you're not leading with pride and ego. Not ego as to your sense, but ego is an acronym, edging God out. Make sure your focus and what you're driving and what you're thriving to get is focused on what God has ordained, and not your ego.
I love that. I learned something new today. You said ego.
Edging God out.
Edging God out. Okay. All right, guys, make note of that. We always want to put God first in every single thing that we do. We cannot lead by our own example, because God is the ultimate leader and he's the one that set the way that our life is supposed to go. So thank you so much for sharing that, Devin. Is there anything that I have not asked that you think is necessary for the ladies to know?
I will leave a food for thought.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies, I am not in competition with you. I'm in competition with myself. And that is something that I want every woman to be mindful of. Be a better version of yourself than you were yesterday, last week, or last year. Focus on the woman, the queen in that mirror.
Yeah.
Make sure from a mind, body, and soul perspective, she's healed from the neck up. That's a therapy session. That's her getting out of her head. That is her building a psychological safety board where she can get all of her emotions and words and challenges she's faced with talking it out. Because one of the things that we have a tendency to do is hold it all in.
Yes.
You don't let out. You give it life, and it's going to burst one day, and it's going to burst on the wrong person. And mm-hmm. that's just from all the, you know, concerns and headaches that you're holding in where you got to get it out. You know?
Yeah.
So when I say competition and focus on you, the queen in that mirror, and stay in your space of your strength. If you're not strong in certain areas, if you're a leader, build a team who's strong in your areas of weakness and be okay with more smarter people, you know, than you being at the table.
Right? Yes.
And I encourage each woman to step outside their comfort zone. Because that's where growth begins.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Absolutely.
We're almost at the end, Devin. This has been amazing. I really enjoyed this conversation. You dropped some good gems. I'm sure the ladies are going to enjoy taking tips away from this conversation. So thank you so much for sharing. But I like to end with some rapid fire questions. So are you ready?
I hope so. We're going to find out real quick.
All right. It's going to be very simple. I'm going to start off very simple. Mountain climb or the beach?
The beach.
The beach. Ah, nice. Me too. I love the beach. What's one of your favorite scripture to speak over yourself?
Iron sharpens iron.
Okay. One thing you do when imposter syndrome creeps in?
I find a scripture to offset it. Mm. I verbally speak it out.
Okay.
I do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I am a child of God. He loves me. He calls me his friend.
I love that. What's one habit that keeps you grounded as a leader?
One habit that keeps me grounded. You got me thinking now. keeps me grounded as a leader. Stay true to who I am. Don't take myself serious. And know that we all put our pants on the same way.
Yep. I love that. And my last question, a word you'd use to describe your healing journey?
Necessary.
Necessary. Woo! I love that word. I was not expecting that one, but it is necessary.
Absolutely.
Healing is a necessary thing. All right, Devin. So we're at the end, but before I end, is there anything that you'd like to promote? Any social media you'd like to share or anything that you're working on now that you want the listeners to know about?
Oh, great. Thank you for the opportunity. You did a phenomenal job, Unique. For me, I am a three-time author. You can go to devincroom.com. You can find out more about my books and the services that I offer. I am also a host of Women Warriors. You'll find that on my website as well, as a space where women get together on a monthly basis and we pour into each other psychological safety. We grow together. We cry together too, but we have a great time having fun.
I love that. And thank you again, Devin, for just your wisdom, your willingness to lead and lead with truth, vulnerability, and authenticity. It's what the generation of women needs. So before we go, go on our website, grab our books, Abuse But Not Broken. Is that correct?
Abuse But Not Broken, yes.
Yes. So if you go to our website, you'll be able to find them, or it's also on Amazon. Is that correct?
It is available on Amazon.
Awesome. And then you can follow her. She did provide her website. Once you go there, you probably will find everything that you need to see. So again, listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, my book, Sis, You Are Her, will be released soon. Follow me to know when that date will be. But stay tuned. A lot is in store. And like always, love you all. Take care.
Thank you for watching another episode of The Blueprint. Please subscribe to my channel, like, comment, and share this video. Until next week, take care. Bye.